Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Okay, I want to hear more. Don't stop it yet. I'm not ready to talk. It's enough. I'm ready to talk about Ebola and Obama. I'm not ready to talk about Ebola and Obama. I'm going to talk about Ebola Charmaine and Ebola. I always loved the saxophone in this. Does anyone know how to play the saxophone like this? Yes. Does anyone listen? All right, turn it off. They can't double. They cannot listen to me and hear the music at the same time. You know all the stories. Here's the problem with talk radio. By the time I get on the radio, if you've scanned the Drudge Report and a few other sites, you know everything there is to know about the whole world. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Well, not exactly everything you need to know about the whole world. I'll tell you what I want to talk about today. One is a political question. How do you stop a runaway president? And that's tied into the fact that they put out an RFP for 33 million green cards for illegal aliens because the dictator wants to grant amnesty to 30-some-odd million illegal aliens. What's interesting about that story is that for years I've been saying it's not 11 million, it's 35 million, 30 million. I'm the only one in the media who would not accept the 11 million number, right? Everyone repeated it like clockwork. 11 million illegals, 11 million illegals, 11. And Michael's saying, wait a minute, it's 30. If the government's saying 11, it's 30 because they lie about everything in both directions. So I said it's at least 30 million illegals. So they're asking for 35 million illegal alien blank work permits and green cards. Now, if the president wants to do that, he needs to be impeached immediately. He needs to be stopped before he becomes an absolute total dictator and ruins America for 100 years. Even if you think that illegals are entitled to citizenship, which I do not, this must be done through the legislative process, not by fiat, by a dictator who thinks he's God Almighty. That's number one. But it's really not the question I want to talk about on the Savage Nation today. I have other things I want to talk about, such as, is a college degree still worth it? Now, why do I ask that question? Are you ready to run with me on this one? Why am I asking, is a college education still worth it? I'm asking for a couple of reasons. Teddy, pay attention. You're on the air right now. Stop it. By the way, this is not a show coming to you inside your dental filling. This is Michael Savage on over 250 stations coming to you through the Cumulus Broadcasting Network, broadcasting live from a kennel somewhere in San Francisco where I cannot stop my poodle from barking, and I love him too much to gag him with the ice cream. Now the maid comes in with the Chinese food. Isn't it wonderful doing a show like this? A yapping poodle, a maid with Chinese food. What could be better? Where was I? Is a college degree really worth it? Now let me explain why I'm asking this question. First of all, I can't say the word Obama and Ebola one more time without gagging. Okay, I'm not saying Obama, Ebola, Obama, Ebola, Ebola, Obama for a while. I want to ask you a question, which I've asked you already, so can I move on why I'm asking it? As I've told you, I'm going back through the written journals of Michael Savage, the secret written journals of Michael Savage, dated to 1963, and I'm up to 1969, volume number 8 of my written journals, which are being transcribed. And I'm looking back at all my years of struggles, all the years of seeking a higher education, bachelor's degree, Queens College. Wasn't enough for me. I was embarrassed that I only had a bachelor's degree. Most of my cohorts went on to grad school, meaning they either became a doctor or a lawyer. Those who couldn't do anything else became an accordionist and ventriloquists. The thing is, it was in my milieu, in my world, nobody just settled for a bachelor's degree unless they didn't have the brains to go on. And then they went into the record business and became billionaires by the time they were 20. Now, I've known many people in my life who never went to college who've done very well. In fact, some of the wealthiest guys I know never got a college degree. Now, is that the be-all and end-all of a college degree? I got to tell you, I was raised in a liberal age, and I was taught that a liberal arts education was not about making a living. I was taught that it's about broadening your mind, and it's true. Actually, it is true. Unfortunately, we also have to make a living. They should have taught us that, but we weren't going to trade schools. The whole concept of a liberal education, meaning a Bachelor of Arts degree, was to indulge yourself in a variety of subjects and become knowledgeable about the world that preceded you and the world in which you were living. And then hopefully you'd be a more well-rounded person. That was the idea of school in my day. But I always felt embarrassed that I didn't have a higher degree. So that started a long quest for higher degrees. Now, I'll never forget this. When I was in Queens College in New York City, it was a very, very competitive group of lower middle class kids driven like crazy to succeed. Everyone was trying to outdo the other guy and get straight A's. It was a very tough place. And the Queens College of those days was built upon the 100 great books of the University of Chicago curriculum. That's what the curriculum was based on. Now, I don't have to make a sarcastic remark comparing it to what they teach the kids today. I'm giving you an example of what I went through. So when I was in Queens College, I'll never forget, I had a friend. He was a tall, goofy, panda-looking guy, like 6'5" and looked like a panda, big sad eyes. And the reason no one picked on him is because he had a brother who didn't look like a panda. His brother looked like a boxer, which he was. And if anyone looked at his panda brother wrong, the boxer would come around the next day and beat him up. So we liked the panda. We thought the panda was a nice guy because we were afraid of his brother. But the panda was very smart. And he always had a keen sense of humor. But the panda used to talk about some of the professors with such reverence. He would say, "Ooh, look at him. He has two master's degrees, not just one." Well, that one remark of my panda-like friend looking with respect to a professor who had not one but two master's degrees and then a PhD set me in motion. And I started to research, and I learned that one of our presidents, believe it or not, wrote a master's thesis in, I believe, mechanical engineering or civil engineering. His thesis was an architectural design for none other than the Brooklyn Bridge. And I forget who the president was who did that. You can research it quickly. Which president designed the Brooklyn Bridge? Neil, try to find it. I would dare say it was, who was it? It wasn't Barack Obama. His master's thesis was how to destroy a nation in 6 short years and enjoy it every step of the way while dancing with the rap stars in the Oval Office. Chester Arthur? Okay, so Chester Arthur, his master's thesis was the Brooklyn Bridge. I said, that was amazing. I didn't know a master's thesis could have such meaning. But you see, master's degrees actually meant something. They were based on something. They were just not handed out. So I then started on my road. I earned a master's degree in ethnobotany. Then I earned a master's degree in medical anthropology. And I don't want to go into the work I did because it was good work. And then I earned my PhD at the University of California at Berkeley. So I got 3 higher degrees and 1 bachelor's degree. And why did I do all of this? Because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do it, number one. It was very hard for me. I got to tell you, I'm not a natural student. I don't have a great memory for things I'm not that interested in. I have a great memory for things I'm interested in. It just sticks in my mind. So then I look back on my life, and I know kids who either dropped out of college or went to college and went into something in business and made a lot of money very early. Like the dumbest kid I knew worked in a gas station. He never went to college, but he moved to Florida before the real estate boom, and he made a fortune in real estate. And I envied him. I somewhat envied him because I was struggling with master's degrees and a PhD. They wouldn't hire me. And here was this, you know, gas pump guy who made a fortune in real estate in Florida just by being in the right place and having the guts to invest. Then I had another friend. He became a foot doctor. He was a foot doctor, and we all laughed at him for being a foot doctor. But the foot doctor, again, moved to Florida in the late 60s and opened up Medicare Mills, I heard, and made a fortune with foot doctor Medicare Mills. I kind of envied him. I mean, I was this great scholar, and here was this guy with Medicare Mills rolling in dough. Another one of my friends dropped out of college and became a gangster. He made a lot of money. I somewhat envied him. What I'm saying is, why did I put in all those years to go to school? Now, I once said to my son, why did I waste all those years in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas? Why did I do all those things, collecting plants for no money? What was I doing? Why was I borrowing money to do my research because there was no government research? I said I wasted those years. I should have just bought slums in Harlem in the 70s with the Russians I knew who were moving into New York, who were buying the slums and made a fortune. And he said, no, Dad. He said, you don't understand something. He said, when you went into radio in 1994, in every word that you spoke, in every sentence that you spoke, you brought your education to the radio show. He said, don't you understand that your education is expressed in your viewpoints. I said, okay, fine. So that brings me around to today's show. There's a lot of news I will talk about, maybe, maybe not. But I'd like to open up the show to listeners of the Savage Nation and call in and tell me if, one, you still think a college degree is worth it, unless you're going to a professional school such as a medical school, which I wouldn't recommend in this day and age of Obamacare. It's going to be like Russia treated their doctor soon. Would you recommend that a young man in particular go and waste his time and go to college? Is it a waste of time? As you well know, most of the universities have a bias towards women. Men are pushed aside. And basically, most scholarships and grants are preferably given to women, minorities, illegal aliens, and others. So if you'd like to chime in on the issue of college, whether it's worth it or not, I'll take those calls at 1-855, I don't know the number. What's my 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. I see it's dead in the water already because you're not interested in this topic. All right, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Making of many radio shows, there is no end, says Ecclesiastes Michael. And the fact is, I don't want to say the word Obama or Ebola today. I can't say those words. Of course, they're merged in my mind since he brought Ebola to America with his open borders policy. But I'd rather talk about the topic I raised, which was, is a college degree worth it anymore? And I think it's a very important topic. I'm overeducated in some regards, but I wouldn't say there's such a thing as overeducation. How can you ever say you're overeducated? What do you mean, you know everything? When I consider the idiocy that I listen to in the media, the absolute stupidity coming out of Congress, I would say, no, I'm not overeducated. I say I'm being run by a nation of undereducated dolts. They know nothing about anything. I mean, maybe there's a word like conniving, or there's another word that I'm looking for that's escaping me right now. Shrewd. There's a lot of shrewd people who are stupid. How can you be shrewd and stupid at the same time? I'll let you figure that out. Obama's an example of a shrewd man who's a stupid man. He is a man who pushes agenda, bypassing Congress to grant millions of blank work permits and green cards to push the agenda of the radical leftist viewpoint to advance his party's position for 100 years, not thinking for one iota what it will do to America, nor caring. That's called stupid. But stupider are the Republicans who do nothing to stop him. But I don't want to talk about that, so I'd rather talk about the college thing. Because I said bachelor's degree, master's degree, then a PhD. Now, do I need it in radio? I don't need it. You know, in the military, if you look at a higher-up officer, you see medals on their chest, right? They all mean something to other military men. Most of us don't know what they mean. I often wondered why in our society can't we wear medals on our chest showing our achievements on a business suit or a polo shirt? I mean, we have no identity in this country. So you see the average schmuck walking around a mall with a pair of shorts and a T-shirt. He could be a highly educated hero. You wouldn't know it. There's no badge of honor on him. And that's what's the problem with people in the non-military world. We have no way of knowing what the next man's achievements are, do we? We really don't. And I always thought that higher degrees were the equivalent of badges of honor in the military in that regard. I thought they would count for something. Do they count for anything in this society where you glorify a slut in Hollywood who's constantly showing off her body in the most disgusting manner? I'm nothing against the body. I think the human body is gorgeous. And I think sex is great. But I'm sick and tired of hearing about others telling me about their sex. I could care less about their sex. I care as much about some slut in Hollywood and what she does with her body as I care about how someone eats a pizza pie. Breaking news. Homeland Security announces travel restrictions for people from West Africa, Ebola-affected countries. It's a fake story. It's another piece of window dressing from President Ebola. He's saying that all U.S.-bound travelers from three Ebola-stricken nations will be required to fly into one of five airports that are conducting additional screening. So what? You're supposed to sigh with relief? Again, he's a liar. Why is he a liar? Because 94% of travelers from these three countries already arrive in only one of the five designated airports. 94% of them already go into JFK, Newark, Dulles, Atlanta, Chicago. So it's a cover-up by the CDC, and you understand why it's so incredibly difficult to cover the stories when you live in a Sovietized American media? How did I find that out? Why is it not on Fox News? Why did I have to dig that up? Okay. Reno, KKOH, Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation. On the question of college, yes or no?
I'd have to say no, Michael. I've built two multi-million-dollar companies. I'm on my second one now. I've got a high school education, and I did it all through hard work.
All right. I understand that. But do you miss certain areas of knowledge that you wish you had?
You know what I do, Michael? When there's something I don't know, I hire somebody a little smarter than me, and they give me the answer that I'm looking for.
All right. I understand that, and I accept it. And I'm going to tell you that I don't disagree with the man. If your goal is to make a good living, you may as well bypass college. It's worthless. However, I will tell you this. Maybe it's a generational thing. I came from a different generation where education was extremely well respected. And here's something you may not know. Even people in the underworld or gangsters who occasionally crossed my path, occasionally, wanted a higher education. They were lacking one thing. Many of them achieved power, raw power, and money. But they felt that they were not educated, and they wanted to learn about great poetry, great art, great science, great literature, great architecture. They wanted that knowledge. I don't think that exists anymore. I don't think people give a rat's you-know-what about such things. I do. Because I'm from another time and another place. Maybe that's why I respect the great architecture of America, America's borders, language, and culture. Maybe that's why I've written almost 30 books, because I'm from another generation. It could be. I'll be back to take your calls on this and other topics right here on The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is the Savage Nation broadcasting live from San Francisco to America, and we're talking about, is a college degree still worth it? And the reason I raise the question is because I have three higher degrees, which I worked extremely hard for. My first master's degree was published in its entirety in a journal put out by Harvard University. Now, those in the scholarly world know what that means. My PhD dissertation was actually published as a book, almost unheard of. So I thought this would matter in my life. It really didn't. At the end of the day, it didn't really matter. When the time came for me to get what I was working for, which was a professorship, they said white men need not apply in your field. We're only hiring women, minorities, and illegal aliens. If I could show you the 80 or 100 letters of application to universities for positions that I went through many years ago, you'd say, well, that was pretty bad. Yeah, well, I had two young children, and it's awful to be the butt of racism. In a nation, sure is, but I had no one singing my tune. I don't want to relive that, because it was all, you know, like Huxley wrote. Actually, it was Blake who wrote. I think it was Huxley reading Blake, who said, life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. And older people will understand that. In other words, I mean, that's a self-evident statement. Life must be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. Meaning, looking back, certain things that happened in your life may make sense. That made no sense while they were happening. So the years I walked on hot coals and was excluded from what I wanted made no sense to me. I hated it. It turned me into a different person. It warped me. And it made me what I am today. But it also drove me into radio. So now I've had 20 years in radio, long climb up. And I don't know where I'm going to go from here. I don't see how I can go any higher than where do I go from here? What, more stations, a bigger audience? How is that bigger? How is that better? All that could be better is that I get better at doing the job, because more stations wouldn't matter to me that much. More money wouldn't really change anything in my life. If I made 10 times the money I'm making, I would feel good about it, but it wouldn't change my lifestyle because I'm not a big spender. So what I'm saying to you is, I mean, you know, what is success, number one? And number two, how much do you really need, number three? And what are you living for? What do you do with your life? So that's what I'm saying. Is a college degree worth it? In one sense, if you're into knowledge and you can still learn something in universities, that's a big if. The leftists have so dominated the academies and so have perverted learning that we're living in a place where it's almost impossible to get a classical education. It's been turned into an abattoir. Most universities today are abattoirs of social filth. Unless you are in, let us say, an engineering subject, and even that I would think is polluted by those who've climbed out of the cesspools and have been put into the deanships. They've perverted everything. They perverted mathematics. They perverted astronomy. They perverted science at every level. Medicine, as you can see, has very little meaning when you look at a guy at the CDC who's nothing but a political hack. What is his knowledge of disease control? Worthless. He has none. He's just a mouthpiece for the leftist establishment that put him there. So, well, what is education? But to me, it was very important. And as I say, and I want to go back to this for a minute. I didn't even think I would do this today. I was going to do, you want to see the topics I pulled for today? Let me just show you. CNN spreads lies about radio giant on Ebola by Selwyn Duke. It's a great article. The best American cities for liberals and conservatives, quantified. The new Civil Rights Division head wants to decriminalize possession of all drugs. NAACP speaker's remarks, let's create confusion during the November 24th, 2014 election by deliberately misleading voters and creating chaos. Order for millions of blank work permits, green cards for 34 million raises concerns. Okay, you get the picture? Obama to bypass Congress on easing of Iran sanctions on nuclear weapons. They're important stories, but I don't really want to talk about them. I was also going to talk about my experience in a Barnes & Noble last night that got me so agitated. I called my agent and she said, you better tell that publisher I'm through with this. I'm not doing it anymore. I go into my local Barnes & Noble and I say, can I see a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War? And this nasty clerk gives me like, oh, it's over there. I go there, it's buried underneath books that are doing far fewer in sales than mine. I got so infuriated. I made calls, and you know what? To no avail. And I said, I give up. That's the end of it. We're living in the, you know, and another thing happened with the book, which I don't want to get sidetracked. After the show, I was walking around near a restaurant in my neighborhood, and a neighbor came up to me, a very sweet lady with her dog, and she said, Mike, I bought your book. Now, she's a woman who survived cancer. She doesn't have a lot of money. She's a widow. She's the sweetest lady in the world. She said, Mike, I bought your book. And she said, I bought one for someone else. And she said, I got to tell you, it was so hard to get them in Barnes & Noble to even give me the book. And then she whispered, first of all, I offered to pay her back. I felt bad for her. She wouldn't take it. She said, that would insult me. I said, I forgot you're Italian. Sorry. So I didn't offer the money. But I did find out what she drinks. I'm going to put a bottle in her mailbox. But she said in a whisper, she said, what's going on in this country now under Obama, Mike, is like Hitler's Germany. I said, what? She said, the book banning, the burial by the liberals of your book. She said, these are all symptoms of a very sick nation under a very, very bad man. She's 81. So I guess she sees things that the hipsters on medication don't see. Now let's go back to the college thing. One last side note on the college thing. As I say, I grew up around a mixed group of men. Most were immigrants. And in the perimeters of these men, there was the those who went into, let's say, shady businesses. I can't go into any more details than that because I didn't know the detail. And we just knew that they were not like the others, where they didn't own a shop, they didn't have a trade. One of them owned a bar on the Upper West Side, and I'm talking back in the 50s, and he was the toughest of them all. This guy was a street fighter, and everyone looked up to him because he was a genuinely kind man to his family and their friends. The type, you know, the gentle giant type, that's the type he was. And he would lecture the boys, we'd hang out on the weekends, and the guys would gravitate to him, the boys, because he was the strongest male. And he would talk quietly, and he would tell you what life was about as a man, and he would tell you never be afraid to get into a fight. And he said the worst that could happen is you'll lose a tooth. I mean, stuff like that, of course, that doesn't apply today with guns and knives. But he grew up at another age, you know, before my age. But there was a man who respected education. He never went to high school, so far as I know. Rough as a freshly sawn tree. And the man would not watch television at night. He would say, oh, that's a bunch of garbage. I don't watch it. And he would read books. Whatever he read, I don't know. He'd read books. And he told us he would only read books, that kind of thing. And he always said an education is very important, is the most important thing for a person, on and on. But those days are over. This is a different world we're living in. Take a look at the level of literacy or lack thereof in our society and tell me. All right, let me go to you now, the callers. I will get to the news that I brought up eventually on the show, but I think this topic has juice to it. Kathy in Connecticut on DRC Radio. Welcome. What's on your mind, Kathy?
Hi, Mike. I am 55, and like you, I grew up in the middle-class family and always considered myself, I was pretty smart. I'm not going to say I'm a brain, but I wasn't dumb. And I was always wanting to go to college, but I was embarrassed that I never went. But my father was ahead of his time, you know, in that sense, in that he was afraid if his kids went to college, now this was in the 70s, they would come out brainwashed. And he said to me, because I always wanted to be a nurse, and he would not fill out any papers for me to get loans, he said, the government doesn't need to know my business. And
so you're saying your father wisely was afraid they would turn you into a psycho in college.
Yeah,
and so he blocked you from going into any schooling? You have no schooling at all?
No. I went to 12 years of Catholic high school. And
You probably have a better education than most people with a liberal arts degree today from any of the Ivy League colleges.
Well,
all right, so you say you missed the education. Others don't. I don't know what I would recommend. I really don't know what I'd recommend. I have a grandchild who's a year and a half old, a year and something old. I think about her, I'm not going to tell her what to do. She'll figure out what she wants to do. Would I say to her, become a psychologist or become a doctor or an engineer? Or, I don't know. I wouldn't tell her that. I don't know what she wants to be. Maybe she'd be fine to be an artist and stay home and paint or a sculptor. I mean, whatever happened to that? I'll give you another example of college and its relative value or no value. I know a guy whose son went to a party school. And this guy was very highly educated. And he was very nervous that his son was not really a good scholar. He paid no attention in school. He was a good kid. Didn't get into drugs. Always, mildly into athletics. Kept him away from the coke during the coke years. And the son went to a party school. So in the first few months at the party school, the father went down to visit him. And pounded on his fraternity house door one 9 o'clock in the morning unannounced. It stank like a beer hall, the father told me. The son comes to the door stinking like a brew horse himself. The father looks around the room, looks around the place, and he says to the kid, he said, did I raise you to look like you're living in the third world? What are you doing here? Well, as the years went on, this kid worked very, very hard after college. He used to fight with his father all the time and said to him, school doesn't really matter that much, Dad. He said, it's who you meet in school that matters. It's who, you socialize with. He said, didn't you tell me that yourself about Japan at the time? He said to his father, didn't you tell me that in Japan they don't pay much attention to what they're learning in school? It's who they're meeting in college and making the connections in college for the later on. So the kid was always smart and could always out-reason the father. And he stayed at the party school, worked very hard at terrible jobs and companies. Today, the kid is a billionaire of this father. And so would you say the party school was a bad idea or a good idea? He certainly didn't do it through contacts he made at the party school. He did it through his own grit and brains. He didn't do it through contacts at the college. But the point was is that he did what he wanted to do. He was always oriented towards a good time. He was always oriented towards making other people happy. He was always oriented toward organizing happiness for others in various ways, whether the businesses here and there. And he became a businessman who made people happy through his business. And he's a wealthy young man. So did he need a higher degree in musicology or anthropology or sociology or history? I don't know. I don't know what anyone needs. That's not the purpose of today's discussion. I'm talking about not what you need. Do you need a college degree? Well, if it's in a specialized field, if you want to be a chemical engineer, well, certainly yes. And in that field, you could probably avoid the pollution of the social sciences, the distortion and the pollution of the new fascism that is in our universities, the brainwashing, the sickness. Law. What is law today? Law is a license to steal for most people. Where did I get that from? Well, I got it from a very famous lawyer who joked once, 30 years ago, one of the most famous lawyers in America. He was a friend of mine at the time, a really prominent guy. And he said, you see what this law degree is? He said, it's my license to steal. He said that. He did. He said, I love this guy. He passed away a number of years ago. He was as smart as a tack. But now, what motivated him? He came from a family. And never forget it, as long as I live, I had gotten out of the university. I was trying to get a teaching job with a PhD. They wouldn't hire me, and I was very unhappy. So I became a consultant. I was making a reasonably good living, and he was very happy that I did that. He hated the whole university system. He said to me, let me tell you a story. He said, if ever you feel down, he said, never feel too down. He said, because no matter what your struggles are, they're nothing compared to my father. I said, what do you mean? He said, he was an immigrant from Greece. And he said, I grew up in a nice home. My father lost everything. And he said, I'll never forget the day that I came home from work and my father and mother were in the street crying and all of their worldly possessions were on the sidewalk. They were thrown out of their own house. The house was taken from them. My father lost everything. And he said, that's the day I decided nobody would ever take anything from me. Now, that's neither here nor there, but it's an interesting true story, and I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Funny song. Welcome back. It's 54 minutes after the hour. Little Richard.
You know, you think about a song like this in education, right? Keep a knocking. Go ahead, turn it up for a minute. Okay, so keep a knocking, but you can't come in. Okay, it's got innuendos in it. I don't have to spell it out or what it really means. But if you look up the derivation or the origin of that song, it was written and performed in the 1920s by black blues singers who were singing at a different pace entirely, much slower. But now you look at the black blues writers, composers, and performers of that era, all uneducated. But look at the insights in those blues songs. Look at the insight just in that, in the writing of that. Keep a knocking, but you can't come in. I mean, you have to understand what he's saying and blah, 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 and all that. Here's another little esoteric fact. Is it of any value to you? Roman gladiators' diet, probably not what you'd expect researchers find. You'd think Roman gladiators were real meat and potatoes guys, right? Well, in the city of Ephesus in ancient Turkey, they ate mainly beans and grain with hardly any animal protein. There was no animal protein. They didn't kill the animal that was giving them the milk. The warriors also drank a beverage, a drink made of plant ashes that was supposed to fortify the body after physical exertion and promote better bone healing. And scientists use spectroscopy, and they measure the carbon, nitrogen, and sulfur levels in the gladiator's bones, as well as the ratio of strontium to calcium. And so the diet was not that different from the general population. But it's very interesting to read that they were barley eaters rather than meat eaters. And the ash tonic that the gladiators took, similar to what you do today. Many of you take CalMag in the form of effervescent tablets, for example, following physical exertion. I don't take CalMag. I never did. I never believed in it. In fact, even in the heyday when I was writing books on nutrition, I was very cautious about CalMag because I was very concerned about the calcium being taken up by the arterial walls rather than by the bones. And I was probably right. And I think there's been a little rethinking on that one. There's a lot of stuff I wouldn't recommend. The isolated amino acids worried me. Some of them did. I wouldn't recommend them, but... So here we are. We're talking about education, its value, relative value, and the hour has flown by. How is it possible that because I didn't eat my heart out over the runaway president, the rogue president, I didn't eat my heart out over Barnes & Noble and other stores burying my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, but instead, well, it's because I had a Chinese meal about 15 minutes after the show started, I think. I knew it was coming, so my mood was elevated. And during the first break, I ate half of it. And during the second break, I ate the other half of it. I feel better. In fact, if you look at any one of my shows, you'll see that whenever I get a hot plate of Chinese food delivered during a show and the dog barks or goes berserk, they're usually more interesting shows. Go figure. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey,
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Why am I playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Because it's the first cold night of the year out here in San Francisco. And it rained, and I'm thinking of Christmas already. Would you believe it? I'm a moody guy. Welcome to the show. All right, turn off Gene. Thank you very much. Give him a saddle. We'll see him in the stable. So as I say, the reason the show is a little different today is I can't look at the news anymore. I can't take the lies coming out of Obama's mouth. I can't take the twisted hatred for the Constitution and the government and the people. The contempt for the people is at a level I've never seen. Maybe in North Korea you'd see this level of contempt for the people. Kim Jong-un has about the same respect for his citizens as does the Democrat Party. That's what's getting me sick. Here's a headline. Woman stoned to death by ISIS militants and her own father. I can't believe what I'm looking at. I can't believe what I'm looking at. An imam. Don't let me start on the word imam. An imam rants and accuses her of adultery. The woman begs for her life from her father, who is tying a rope around her neck as she screams for her life. When the father, this religious maniac, finally acknowledges the daughter, it's to tell her not to call him father. Then the religious psycho father leads her to a hole in the ground, pulls her in and orders the attack on his own flesh and blood to begin. He screams at her, "Don't call me father." As she crouches in the pit, the veiled woman can be heard praying to Allah as she is thrown, rocks are hit her until she's dead. The leader of the mob is her father, who was awarded the group's highest honor, the biggest stone to cast and deliver the death blow. ISIS militants often use stoning to murder women they accuse of adultery. Now, why am I mentioning it? Because this is the sick world we're living in, that this religion has so distorted, become so distorted and sick. And that we're not, we have the power to wipe them off the planet. We have the military might to destroy these vermin. These vermin, these subhumans. Would you call a man like that a human being or a subhuman? The black mask types with the Kalashnikovs who are doing this to women? Would you call them humans or Untermenschen, subhumans? You don't even understand the danger you're in. What can I say to you? That's why I tell you I have to have two Chinese meals to get through a show today. So here are the two fortune cookies from the meals, opening them up on the air. Did you hear the crunch? First meal, it says, you will surround yourself with warmth and riches. Okay. Here's the second Chinese fortune cracker, open. I don't eat these. They're full of lard. You will soon be the guest of a person you admire. Okay. Who's that? I don't know. I don't really admire anybody. I'm so self-sufficient. I don't admire anybody. They say to me, Mike, who would you like to be? They used to ask me if you could have, like, visit by anyone, and who would it be? Well, it wouldn't be the President of the United States. Let's start with that. Why would I want to be invited to the White House? I mean, I don't understand. What's the honor to hang around where they put, where they brought in rap stars who polluted the whole meaning of the dignity of the White House? That's where I want to be? I don't have anybody I want to be invited to see. Maybe military guys. That's about it. Hero cops, hero surgeons, hero nurses. Here are teachers. That's about it. I don't want to see any politicians. So here we are. It sicked me. I shouldn't have looked at that. It was in the New York Post. During the video, a cleric rants, accuses the... Why do they say the word cleric? Say Muslim imam! Not a cleric! Muslim! 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 Muslim imam! That's who did it. Not a cleric! That's the New York Post. A cleric. A cleric, it's a Muslim imam, did it. He's using the holy book, the Quran, to justify stoning the woman to death. Because Islam has not yet gone through a reformation. They're still citing the equivalent of the Old Testament and invoking it literally. I've discussed this in great detail. Now, this is where education comes in. See, I'm going to talk about education and what's the value of it. I've told you, if you look at the Old Testament, you'll find stoning in there. Killing of women who were adulteresses and homosexuals are stoned to death. But Jews don't do that. They've gone through a reformation. They don't take their holy book literally in most places. In some places they do. They don't eat shrimp. They don't eat pork, whatever. But they know well enough as modern people not to stone a woman to death who commits adultery. They know well enough not to stone a homosexual to death. Why are the Muslims in this backward area here, the Islamists, unable to distinguish between a dietary prohibition and stoning their own daughter to death. Tell me what's missing. And why do we permit imams in the United States of America to preach such hatred? Tell me why such mosques are not closed down. Tell me why such mosques and such hate preachers are not thrown out of the country. Tell me. Say, well, where do you know what's going on? Where do I know that it's going on? You're telling me, listening to this show, you don't believe that there are ISIS sympathizers in mosques in this country? Well, ask the FBI what they think. Maybe they'll enlighten you. All right, 855-400-7282. Book horror stories. CNN spreads lies about radio giant on Ebola. Good. The new Civil Rights Division head wants to decriminalize possession of all drugs. Order for millions of blank work permits and green cards. 34 million blank work permits and green cards by Obama. Preparing for an executive order for amnesty after the November election. I would say he needs to be arrested. I don't think he has the power to become a dictator in front of our eyes. Now, I was going to raise that question, how do you stop a runaway president? Granting green cards to 34 million individuals who are here illegally doesn't rise to the level of a crime and misdemeanor. It rises to the level of criminal activity. And I want to know why he cannot be arrested. I want to ask a simple question. I'm raising a very incendiary question. If this president were to do such a thing through so-called executive orders, which he's not permitted to do, oh, he could twist and pervert the law and say it gives him the power to do it. He does not have the power to do it. I've studied executive orders. He cannot do it. But this is a man who thinks he's above the law. Should he be arrested if he does this? What should the Republican Party do should he do this? You want to get down and dirty with politics? Go ahead. Make my day. It says Obama is getting ready to grant amnesty to 34 million illegal aliens. Now, what's ironic here is I'm the only one in the media who, every time they gave the official figure of 11 million non-illegal, I would say it's at least three times that because the government lies about everything. So it just confirmed that I was right. A government print order for 34 million blank work permits and green cards is raising concern that Obama could be preparing an executive order for amnesty after the November election. So I was right about the 30-some-odd million. And the question to you is, if this runaway president should try to do such a thing, should he be arrested by Congress? Can they order him to be arrested for usurping the Constitution and Congress? Do they have to go through the lengthy process of amnesty? Through the lengthy process of impeachment, which would take years. It would never happen. I'd like to know if there's an executive action that could be taken by Congress to not impeach him, but arrest him. I'm asking a simple question. I'm just asking. I don't know the answer. What must the president do to be arrested, not impeached? Let's put it that way. Tell me what a president must do to be arrested, not impeached. Has there ever been an act performed by a president that has resulted in the president being arrested, not impeached? Check your history. Has any president been caught stealing, I don't know, hundreds of billions of dollars? No, but many of them have stolen hundreds of billions of dollars through fraud, through Medicare fraud, Medicaid fraud, Obamacare fraud, EPA fraud, solar energy fraud. Has anyone gone to jail? No. But this would be the sine qua non of sins. If they were to permit this man to get away with this with the stroke of a pen, we are fundamentally out of America. There's no country left. Zero. No country, not only for old men, no country for any people whatsoever. We're living as serfs in a dictatorship. I told you that we have talked about executive orders on this show many times. I've told you what they were written for. I told you what the law permits. And nowhere does it permit a psychotic like this to become literally a Mussolini with the stroke of a pen. He does not have that power nor authority. Now, the only thing it would permit him to do it is that we have no press to stop him. They're worthless. By and large, and we have no opposition party to speak of at this time. So that leaves us in a quandary, does it not? Now you understand why I'm talking about the value of a college degree. So let's put on our little academic caps and gowns now, and let's check for presidents who've committed crimes that were worthy not of impeachment but of being arrested. Okay, and talk about that. Let's take some calls on the college issue. WMAL, Terrell, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, this reminds me of a conversation that I had with my professor in my intro to logic class when I was an undergrad. Because it was such a difficult subject, he thought it was very important to be a learned person in society, especially with Aristotelian logic. And so he quoted or paraphrased Terence, the Roman poet, who said, "Nothing human is foreign to me." And from that point forward, I was in awe with his knowledge of the classic metaphysics and so forth. And, and from that, I felt a sense of responsibility to learn as much as I can. And luckily enough for me, I earned my PhD in rhetorical theory with a concentration in continental philosophy.
Wow, that's highly in demand on Wall Street, isn't it?
Not really. And I struggled, much like you have in the academic world, to the point where...
Wait, let me back this up. So, in essence, you have a degree in what? Philosophy, would you say? Would it be in the area called philosophy?
Yes.
Okay. And there's no need for philosophers unless they're pushing the leftist line in some way, I would think.
I mean, what we call philosophers today are left-wing pundits, for the most part. I mean,
Yeah, the philosophy, I get it, of perversion, I get it.
And so, for me, and I instilled in my kids that your responsibility...
But, Terrell, I don't mean to interrupt you. As a highly educated man in esoteric subjects, how do you make a living?
I'm a professor, but I've been exiled from a number of institutions because I actually believe in the democratic process of an open institution which was really open to new ideas.
But haven't they basically been taken over by mean women? Mean, didactic, radical feminists. Haven't they taken over most colleges?
Absolutely.
Yes. The meanest of the woman, the meanest women in America are in the universities.
And
the bully. Every last one of them is a bully. A bully right out of George Orwell's Animal Farm. And they're the ones who talk the most about bullying, but you know that they're the biggest bullies in the country.
Yeah, and they're planting themselves in disciplines where I would say traditionally they haven't been, but because of the policy, because of a more a well-rounded university, they put them in, say, philosophy departments. They put them in.
Look what they've done to the military. They took a woman who has never flown an airplane, and they made her, I think, the head of the U.S. Air Force. This is something out of Mao Zedong's China, but worse. Under Obama, they've taken women who have never driven a ship and made them the Secretary of the Navy. Do you understand what that's all about? It's about promoting unqualified women to run the Navy and the Air Force. You get that, don't you? It's exactly what they've done to the universities, which is why they've debased them. I'm not against a woman being a pilot or a woman being a captain of a ship or a woman being the president of a university, but based simply on being what, a militant feminist? Does that make sense to anybody listening to this show? Thank you, my erudite friend. When I come back, we'll take your calls on all these other topics right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON. The shocker story is that the government under Obama has put out an order for as many as 34 million blank work permits and green cards, which means they're getting ready to grant amnesty to up to 30 million or more illegal aliens right after the election. Now, that's not a treasonous act. It's a crime against the Constitution. It's a crime against the meaning of the executive order. There is no such power granted a president, no such power in the world that permits this. Is there a precedent for arresting a president who becomes a rogue president who's out of control? The answer can be found in history. Yes, February 19th, 1807, Aaron Burr arrested for treason. Aaron Burr was arrested for treason. Now, he was vice president, and there's a long story attached to it, and he was arrested. In the fall of 1806, Adam Burr led a group of well-armed colonists toward New Orleans, prompting an immediate investigation by U.S. authorities. Well, there were U.S. authorities who questioned him. Do we have such U.S. authorities when they've all been put in place by the rogue president? General Wilkinson, in an effort to save himself, turned against Burr and sent dispatches to Washington accusing Burr of treason. On February 19, 1807, Burr was arrested in Alabama for treason and sent to Richmond, Virginia to be tried in the U.S. Circuit Court. In September of 07, he was acquitted on the grounds that although he had conspired against the United States, listen to those words, he was not guilty of treason because he had not engaged in an overt act, a requirement of treason as specified in the U.S. Constitution. Nevertheless, public opinion condemned Burr as a traitor, and he spent several years in Europe before returning to New York and resuming his law practice. So now let's apply that history lesson to Obama. If he were to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens by giving them, through an executive order, green cards and work permits in order to satisfy foreign governments, in order to satisfy lobbyists like La Raza, would you not consider that an act of treason? Of course it would be an act of treason. It would be he has conspired with La Raza and the Mexican government and other foreign governments against the United States and its constitution. He could then be arrested and tried for treason. Then they could say, well, he's not guilty of treason because he's not engaged in an overt act, which is a requirement of treason. But public opinion at that point would finally see Obama for what he is, a traitor. And then he could go back to practicing law in Chicago after spending a few years in Indonesia. Or let's say Kenya. Do you understand that we're living through historic times? Do you understand that there's treason in the air wherever we turn? It's a strange phenomenon that I should be talking about this, but I predicted as such would stop the coming civil war. See, now, I've told you I've aimed the book towards the election and throwing the Dems out. But this man is saying, I don't care if my party loses. I'm the king. I will do what I want. So I'm raising the question of what are you going to do when you have a rogue president who commits treason, overt treason? He has no authority and no power to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. Zero. That's a treasonous act against the American people, against the United States. What's going to happen?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, look, here's the bottom line. We've got a tough map. A lot of the states that are contested this time are states that I didn't win. And so some of the candidates there, it is difficult for them to have me in the state because the Republicans will use that to try to fan Republican turnout. The bottom line is, though, these are all folks who vote with me. They have supported my agenda in Congress. They are on the right side of minimum wage. They are on the right side of fair pay. They are on the right side of rebuilding our infrastructure. They're on the right side of early childhood education.
All right, so this is the dictator in the White House who is so unpopular right now that people campaigning as Democrats won't have him near them. And yet we got a report today from Fox News that the government has put out a print order for as many as 34 million green cards and blank work permits because this rogue president could be preparing an executive order for amnesty after the November election. Now, you have to understand again, research the executive order. He has no such power. He has no such authority. It would be only that his buddy, Eric Holder, would say he does, but he doesn't have the power. He cannot make law with an executive order. Is there a precedent for arresting a president? Well, in February of 07, Aaron Burr, a vice president, was arrested for treason. Arrested for treason. I didn't say hold him in contempt and, crimes and misdemeanors and have a trial for impeachment. That's absurd. Everyone says impeach, impeach, impeach. No, you can have a president arrested for treason. So what would be treasonous about if the president did that? What? Well, number one, he would be conspiring against the United States Congress. He'd be conspiring against the United States government. He'd be conspiring against the people themselves, and he would therefore be guilty of treason. Whether or not he would engage in an overt act, a requirement of treason, he would be exposed for being the traitor he is. Now, here's the problem. This is all, of course, just an esoteric discussion. Here's the problem. It would have to be voted on in the Senate. The Senate would have to vote to arrest him. Then the sergeant of arms would have to arrest the president. Do you actually think that Obama doesn't have the support of 50% or more of the Republicans in the Senate with regard to pandering to the illegal Hispanic vote? You don't think he has the rulers who put him in power saying, go ahead and do it, we'll back you 200%? You're telling me the Warren Buffetts, the Bill Gates, the Silicon Valley third worlders are not behind amnesty for lower wages? You're telling me that Katzenberg or whatever his name is down there, Zuckerberg and Schmuckerberg and those aren't pushing amnesty? They are. They all want lower costs, business costs. They're all out for the same thing, which is a higher profit margin. So he has the backing of those who are greedy enough to destroy the Constitution and give literally turn our government into a meaningless heap. If you think it's bad now, it would become worthless if he got away with this amnesty. It is tied to what I predicted would happen in Stop the Coming Civil War. I told you that some people would be provoked to an insurrection by some act of this lawless administration. Thus far, it has not happened. The only insurrection we have seen is in Ferguson, Missouri, where the mobs have been egged on by the government itself. The attorney general went down there and egged on the mobs, basically, along with Al Sharpton, I think, and Jesse Jackson. Egged on the mobs. Egged them on, pushed them on. So you see, we already have an insurrection. They want to hang the cop, even though the grand jury has said there's no evidence to try the cop, because the victim's blood was found on the cop and his car, which means the poor man who was shot, whatever his name was wrestling with the cop in his car through the window, trying to take his gun, as the cop said. The gun was fired twice. Then the poor man, the poor innocent victim, ran away, wouldn't stop, and the cop shot him after beating up the cop and almost stealing his gun. That didn't stop Al Sharpton, perhaps the worst person in American history, in my opinion, from saying, I don't give a darn what the grand jury said. That cop's going to be tried. In other words, Mr. Minority Civil Rights Activist wants a lynching. Mr. Minority Civil Rights Activist wants a hanging. He doesn't want a trial, none of the messy trials. He wants a hanging. That's all he wants. And he's got the U.S. government behind him. So we have had an insurrection in Ferguson, Missouri. But they've not seen the insurrection that I fear that's going to come from the patriots. Something will trigger it, because this is an out-of-control rogue administration that has no limits on its grab, on its power grabs. It has no limits on what it might do. They're just laying low right now for two more weeks. And then right after the election, they're going to go like Grant took Richmond on every one of their agenda points. And the only way they could be stopped, in my opinion, is not through impeachment, but through an outright vote of the Senate to arrest the president and try him for treason. Will it ever happen? I don't think so. I think that if the Republicans should win the Senate, they're never going to go along with any such act, because they are as compromised as most of the Democrats. That's the horrible reality. So they say, well, why bother voting? Because it's our only chance left before it all falls down. I mean, it's all going to come down. Unless we have a party that represents the rule of law and the Constitution, there's no government. It's a dictatorship by any definition. Never mind the fancy words and the rhetoric put out by those on television. It will be, in other words, nothing but a dictatorship. So I started by talking about the value of education. Is a college degree still valuable? Is it worthwhile? And then we went into the green cards for 30 million illegal aliens. And we talked about the historic story of Adam Burr, vice president, being arrested for treason and tried for treason. Acquitted, yes, but it destroyed his political career because the people finally saw him as the traitor he was. Okay? So there is precedent for arresting a person in high office for committing an act of treason. I didn't say impeachment. I said arresting. That's something new in the discussion. The only problem is you need a legitimate Congress to do that. And that's the big question mark. Will, after the Republicans win in 2 weeks with your help, become a legitimate body and a representative of the people? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Can't second guess it. I'm very pessimistic about it. I'm quite pessimistic about the election in 2 weeks. I think it's already been stolen, because there's been over 1 million absentee ballots cast already, mostly for Democrats. They've already rigged the election. Then you have the issue of the illegal aliens voting, rigged the election. Then you have the issue of the ballot machines being counted by a foreign company, rig the election. So is there still an election possible in this, I would call it a banana republic, but we don't even grow bananas here, in this website republic? Is there still a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Are you kidding me? With a madman like this in the White House, surrounded by his cronies who are laughing at all of us? This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? You must be joking. Not when you use executive orders to grant amnesty to 30 million non-citizens. No, that's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's a government of the special interests, by the special interests, and for the special interests. And you can name them. You can name every one of them. The American Better Business Bureau, special interest. La Raza, foreign power representative. Mexican government, foreign power. Microsoft. Every one of the Silicon Valley giants. Facebook has been demanding amnesty for illegals. Do you think they care about the illegal aliens? You think that they love them that much they're going to have them over for dinner? You mean they're going to go in the street and look for some poor gardener and maid and invite them over to dinner with Bill and Melinda Gates? They can't wait to have them over for a little poached salmon and Chardonnay? You think that Zuckerberg is going to go look for gardeners in the Mission District of San Francisco and have them up to his mansion for dinner? No, he doesn't care about them. He wants cheaper labor. So no matter how much money they have, the greed factor is beyond anything you could ever imagine. We heard that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Lord Acton wrote that. Well, I could write a new one, which is that greed corrupts and absolute greed corrupts absolutely greedfully. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
So starting tomorrow, you can vote too. You've got to grab your friends. You've got to grab your coworkers. You know, don't just get the folks who you know are going to vote. You got to find Cousin Pookie. He's sitting on the couch right now watching football. Hadn't voted in the last 5 elections. You've got to grab him and tell him to go vote.
That's really interesting, but Cousin Pookie's not registered to vote. Nor are the illegal aliens that Obama has ushered into the country yet, are they? So we have a rogue president who wants non-citizens to vote. He wants the Cousin Pookies who are not registered to vote. And he's ordering over 34 million blank work permits and green cards, getting ready to grant amnesty to illegal aliens, which would be an act of treason. And he does not have the power, as I can tell. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but who says lawyers know everything? I mean, just read the law on executive orders. You'll find out they cannot make law with an executive order. But the question is, can a president be arrested? That's the whole question in front of us. So what does history tell us? A man named Bertram J. Meisner, Jr. wrote an article, Can a President Be Arrested? And he goes through the whole thing. Is it legal to arrest him? Is he above the law? And he says, we think in America no one is above the law, but is that really true today? Congress has passed laws that exempt them from their own laws. Isn't that putting them above the law? They can do insider trading. They have their own health care plan. They have their own social security system. They continually pass laws that they aren't subject to, but we are. Doesn't that make them above the law? The president has a security detail called the Secret Service that isolates him from any threat that may come his way. Secret Service was not originally created, by the way, to protect the president. It was created to stop the printing of counterfeit currency after the Civil War. But then it's been turned into his own private goon squad. So if any law enforcement official dared to approach a rogue president, the Secret Service would protect him from the lawman, and he wouldn't be arrested. You know, the current executive branch of government has displayed its disregard for the law of the land, does not care about the Constitution. Doesn't that make him above the law? We say that the Supreme Court is the last word in our legal system. Really? Can they? And how long would it take for this case to get to the Supreme Court? No, that's not the thing. So if you research whether the president could be arrested or not, you'll get many different answers. And everyone will have their own opinion. It's never happened in the history of America. Even Nixon avoided being arrested and convicted by resigning first. So, who knows? It's a very interesting thing. Who could do it, by the way? Who could actually arrest a rogue president for committing treason? I don't know. The attorney general? You must be joking. He appointed Eric Holder. The provost marshal, U.S. marshal, U.S. fire marshal, the FBI, a military tribunal of the JCS, state government, citizens arrest. There is even a belief, well, you get the whole picture. Is the president above the law? Is he immune from arrest and prosecution while he's in office? These are very important questions because we've never lived through a time like this with such a rogue president who is completely above the law. He's literally a law unto himself, so he thinks. And he is so toxic right now that his own party wants nothing to do with him. But he's laying in the wings, laying low now, ordered 34 million blank work permits and green cards, getting ready to do something that no one could ever believe he would get away with. So the last word on this is you. You must listen to me. You must elect the Republicans, as bitter a pill that is to swallow, as tough as it is for you to take. I think we must preserve this nation, the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness, said Ronald Reagan. If you let this rogue president and his goon squad of Democrats, socialists, Islamists continue to run roughshod over the Constitution and the laws of the land, we will descend into 1,000 years of darkness as sure as I'm sitting here. We'll never come back from it. And that's why I wrote my last nonfiction book called Stop the Coming Civil War. I might write a book on health or on dogs or something. I'm through with this. There's a worldwide liberal revolution that's being funded by George Soros and other nefarious factions. And I see the American Civil War that's emerging as part of the current worldwide liberal revolution, in which I write in the end of the book, in which I see the forces of the left attempting nothing less than a socialist takeover of the world economy and global politics. The world liberal revolution is what the tens of millions of conservative, law-abiding Americans are fighting against, often without even knowing it. We are the equivalent of the anti-communists who fought Stalin. The conservatives in this country, those who still believe in the family. And I go on and on. It's almost too sad to read to you. Everything is at stake. Unless this power grab is arrested, we will all become serfs in the New World Order. In the Soviet Union, if a person did not comply with the dictates and politics of the Communist Party, at first they were ignored. That meant that any reference to them disappeared from the Soviet newspaper Pravda. I, Michael Savage, am the most famous media personality in the history of the San Francisco Bay Area. But, even though I'm world famous for my writings and my radio show, I do not exist in the Bay Area. I'm ignored in this Stalinist city. Never mentioned by a local newspaper or in the local media. They're trying to make believe I don't exist. Go into the bookstores and see what the liberal gulag is doing to my best-selling book. In the liberal gulags, called bookstores, generally run by losers, I'm sorry to tell you, the only books that they will show you are those written by actors, singers, sports figures, degenerates, anti-Americans, occupiers, Democrats. Those are the heroes of the liberal gulag. And I am telling you, this is the prelude to what's coming. I conclude with this. Unless this liberal revolution is stopped and turned back, terrible things are coming in America because this leftist government is preparing to quell what it anticipates will be massive civil unrest. They prepared for it by purchasing 2 billion rounds of 9 millimeter ammunition. Do I have to spell it out for you? Every fact that I've just given you can be verified. They know that they're a rogue administration. They know they don't have the authority through any means whatsoever to grant amnesty to 34 million illegals. They don't have the power. The authority, rather. They have the power only because the people have been turned into sheeple. Well, those are my final words in the first 2 hours of The Savage Nation. I pray you will finally read the last great book on the subject, Stop the Coming Civil War, in order to convert one person from a D to an R just before the election in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You know that right now, if you are caught, welcome to Savage Nation, printing counterfeit green cards, you go to prison for committing a federal crime. You have a machine in your garage that prints fake green cards, you go to prison. And yet a government print order for as many as 34 million blank work permits and green cards has been issued. An online solicitation by the so-called U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services seeks vendors who can produce 4 million cards a year for 5 years and 9 million in the early stages. So that means the government is about to commit 34 million felonies. And yet it's going to be done, they say, by the rogue president, getting his ducks in a row before legalizing illegals by executive fiat. Now, if you study the executive order, he cannot do this. It's illegal. How many times do I have to tell you the same thing? Just do a Google on executive orders, and you'll find out he has no such authority. No matter any stretch of the law does not give him the right to invent a law. You can't make law with an executive order. This is something that's been lost on the American dodo. The American people are as stupid as the dodo bird. Executive order, executive order, executive order. You think it gives them the power to make law? It doesn't. No such power. All he can do is interpret the law, define the law. He can't make the law. So this is making law. There hasn't been a vote on amnesty for illegals. So even if you are of the orientation that we should grant amnesty to some illegals, which I'm not, it should be done through the correct process, through the rule of law, not through the rule of, let us say, a dictatorship. Whatever. You get it? So, my friends, we're in deep trouble here. Order for millions of blank work permits, green cards, raising amnesty concerns. And I raise the issue of what's going to happen if he dares do it. How are you going to screen 12 million, 34 million illegal aliens for terrorism backgrounds? How about coming in with Ebola or tuberculosis or any other disease? Does that matter to you? Do we have enough federal employees to do background checks on these illegal aliens? How many of them are drug dealers, smugglers, rapists, drunk drivers? You name it. Is that what you want for a citizenry in this country? You know, I learned Spanish in high school for a number of years. Then I learned it in college for a number of years. I never took to it. Then I learned French. I was never a linguist. I never did very well with it. I understand languages up to a point. But something grates me whenever I see illegals talking to each other with such a disregard for the language of the land. It gets me a little upset. I come from an immigrant's background. I'm an immigrant's son. And my grandmother did not speak English in the house. She didn't even know English. But she didn't go out in the street and speak her native tongue with her friends in the stores and everywhere else. She wanted to be an American. She tried to be. Where did they get such audacity to think that we want to hear wherever we go a foreign language? Why did we come to accept that a foreign language should be spoken, that foreign languages could be used to vote, foreign languages? What do they need to learn English for if the socialist criminals who run our states and cities and government and federal government will send them the checks anyway? What do they need to learn English for? Checks come in English, don't they? The checks come in English. That's all that matters. So they can speak any language they want. Isn't that democracy? No, it isn't democracy. It's hypocrisy. It's sick. It's a sick nation that has no cohesion. It's not a nation at all. It's a nation without a center. It's a nation without any meaning. What is the meaning of America? Well, we heard it's a melting pot. Well, that meant that they came here and they became Americans. So if you're not speaking English, what kind of American are you? If you are voting not in English, what kind of an American are you? Where was it written that we are a bilingual or a trilingual nation? It wasn't written anywhere. That didn't stop the criminals who run San Francisco from permitting ballots to be written in 7 to 10 languages. How else could they maintain absolute power? How else could such an illegitimate body of thieves maintain absolute power but by getting rubber stamp votes from non-citizens? How? Tell me how. Explain it to me. You say that Congress is in contempt, 7% approval rating. That's because we know they're a rogue body. We know that they're a rogue body supported by nefarious, un-American powers. We all know that. We intuitively know that. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we have a chance in 2 weeks to try to do something about it. That's exchange one group of crooks for another, as I've told you for the last 20 years. Only this time, everything's at stake. See, if the Dems are thrown out en masse, and I mean by an 85 percentile ratio, if that could actually happen, does that automatic nirvana for America? No, not by the furthest stretch of the imagination. We know that the Republicans are what they are. We know that most of them are no different. We know that it's just a shade of gray. I mean, that's all it is, 2-3 degrees of difference. But it's those 2 or 3 degrees of difference that will make, I think, so much difference the minute we put them in power. And that is, we're going to start lobbying. That's when my work is going to begin. I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War for the election, to try to get you to convert one voter from D to R. It's as simple as that. But the real work is going to begin the day after election, when I have to go on the radio, and I have to work as hard as I've ever worked in my life when I don't want to do this anymore, like this level of intensity. And I've got to start to tell you how to lobby and force the Republicans to become the Republicans that we once dreamed of, represented borders, language, and culture. The Republican Party once stood for conservative values. Rock rib Republican, we used to hear. Well, there are some left. Now, how do you get middle of the roaders like John Boehner to become a rock rib Republican? How do you ever get them to become like, forget Barry Goldwater, Ronald Reagan, a liberal Republican, but how do you get them even in that league? Well, I'll tell you about that after the election. Right now, we have a hard focus for 2 weeks. Obama says you got to get Cousin Pookie off the couch. That means an illegal who is not qualified to vote. If Cousin Pookie hasn't voted in the last 5 elections, he's not registered to vote. So listen to Obama telling a crowd to get someone not allowed to vote to vote. Listen to clip seven.
So starting tomorrow, you can vote too. You've got to grab your friends. You've got to grab your coworkers. You know, don't just get the folks who you know are going to vote. You got to find Cousin Pookie. He's sitting on the couch right now watching football. Hadn't voted in the last 5 elections. You've got to grab him and tell him to go vote.
Well, he's not allowed to vote. He's not registered to vote. So who is Cousin Pookie? Who is Cousin Pookie? So now I'll turn it around on you, the American people, who are disgusted and sick to your stomach by this rogue administration. You're sick of the flood of illegal aliens. You are sick to your stomach of the pollution in your schools. You're sick over everything that you see done by this rogue administration. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit on the couch 2 weeks from tomorrow and say it's hopeless? Then blame yourself. Or are you going to do some electioneering between now and 2 weeks from now and call one friend, call one relative, and say, look, there's not much difference between them, but let me tell you why I think you should vote Republican. And then quote chapter and verse from my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Show the crimes and misdemeanors committed by this administration. Show how he has damaged virtually every institution in this country in his long march to bring about the social chaos that we're living through. You can show him the war on our borders, language, and culture that was conducted by Obama. The war in the U.S. military. I name the military personnel who've been fired and why. The war on the middle class. The war on American medicine, the war on civil rights, the war on science, the war on our schools, the war on our allies. The savage truth stopping the coming civil war. I don't know how anyone who supports Israel could ever vote for any Democrat. I don't understand it. What I'll never understand for all my years on this earth is how liberal Jews vote Democrat. I mean, when I say liberal Jews, I don't mean the psycho leftist Jews. I'm talking about liberal Jews who support Israel. I don't understand how they can continue to vote for a party that has shafted Israel like this. I don't understand it. The best friend Israel ever had in our time, would you say it's Barack Obama? Well, ask Netanyahu what he thinks of it. Who is the best friend that the Israelis have in America? You'd have to say it's the conservative Republicans, wouldn't you? They're the only ones who support him. And especially, might I add, the conservative Christian Republicans. And yet, here's the rub, my friends. It's Shakespearean in its irony. If you scratch the surface of a liberal Jew who thinks he's a smart genius, and you say to him, you know, the greatest supporter of Israel in America are the conservative Christians, you know what that liberal Jewish person will say to you? Ah, they'll say with an arched eyebrow, they only want to convert the Jews to Christianity after the Messiah comes. That's the twisted answer you'll get from people who are, they might look like Larry David, for example. That's the answer you'd get. In fact, I think I once saw in one of those twisted Hollywood shows, but that's how they think. And how do they think that way? Why do they think that way? I don't have an answer for all the insanities of the world, nor do I care to try to give them to you. All I can say to you is that if you have a relative who is thinking of voting D and they love Israel, tell them why, by voting for a Democrat, they're putting a knife into Israel's heart. Make it real simple. Don't try to get too esoteric with your cousin or your in-laws in Brooklyn. Or I could pick another issue if you're a traditionalist. Any issue you want. You're in the military. How can anyone in this military, wife of a man, husband of a military woman, a child, ever vote for a Democrat after what this man has done to the U.S. military? I don't understand it. He and Hagel, first it was the other one, who's just written a book, which, by the way, is not even selling anywhere near my book, yet it's in every bookstore in large stacks. How do you figure that out? His book's in large stacks. No one's buying it because they know what he was. They know what he was, Mr. Prosciutto. I don't even remember his name. I forget. What's his name, the defense secretary who gutted the military? What's his name? Panetta gutted the U.S. military. He has the audacity now to write a book alleging to criticize Obama in which he doesn't criticize Obama. It's a complete fraud. It's a sham to make you think that there's dissension in the ranks. There is none. It's a complete fraud, which is why the publishers are showing his book everywhere and not showing my book virtually anywhere. It's a conspiracy. In other countries and other times, they burn books. In our country, in this time, they bury books or tie them up in warehouses. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. It's the Savage Nation, and my God, have we become a beaten people. God, have we become a beaten people from the land of the free and the home of the brave. What have we become? My God, look what we've become. We let an illegitimate power steal our very dignity from us, and we do nothing about it. Illegitimate power from the top to the bottom, overreaching at every turn, and we do nothing about it. So what are you going to do about this if he grants amnesty to 40 million people? Rosalind on WABC, what hope do you hold out for the Republicans doing anything?
There's not much hope. When I read that report that the administration had put out a request for proposals to have 30 million green cards and work permits printed, I got on the phone and I spent the better part of yesterday afternoon trying to get to the bottom of it. And I called Chuck Schumer, one of the architects of the...
Yeah, but Chuck Schumer is a left-wing fanatic. What would you call inspect him to do? The man is the problem, not the solution.
The No Illegal Alien Left Behind Act. But, you have to start in your home...
But Schumer is not a good man. Schumer is the problem, not the solution. My plan is to have the Republicans have their feet held to the fire and force them to stop Obama from executive amnesty, Rosalind.
In New York. So I called Trey Gowdy. He's the chairman of the Immigration Subcommittee. And I had a very lengthy conversation with their people there.
And what was the bottom line?
Bottom line was they have no plan. Their plan is just as you were talking about earlier.
Well, we'll give them their plan, Rosalind. We'll give them the plan. We'll take these clueless lobbyists called Republicans, and we will give them the plan of all plans, the mother of all plans. We won't let them rest for one second. We will stop them at every campaign stop. We'll stop them at every fundraiser. We will stop them at every town hall meeting. We'll stop them on the Senate floor. We will filibuster them in restaurants. They will not rest a second until they have a plan, the mother of all plans, to restore our borders, language, and culture. That's what we're going to do. We the people, we have a right, an obligation, and the power to do it. Did you hear what I just said? Don't write off your power. You can make these lobbyists do what they're supposed to do. What are you electing them for? What, elect them to become bigger bagmen than they already are? Okay, here we go. What do you want to talk about? Well, people say, well, what's the military going to do? In my chapter in the book, The War on the U.S. Military, it's actually quite frightening. Did you know that he's already eviscerated hundreds of high-ranking officers? Did you know that he has eviscerated the officer corps in the military? Did you know that? Did you know that he fired four or five generals right after Benghazi? I give you their names in the chapter. I give them to you. He fired them all. And what killed me the most of all of this was that one of the officers that Obama threw out on his behind was an African-American general who had 28 years of loyal service to this country, who was prepared to protect the embassy and the ambassador in Benghazi and was ready to testify, and he fired him. Not one word in the Old York Times, not a single word. What about our nuclear commanders, Major General Michael Carey and Vice Admiral Tim Giardina, thrown out? Thrown out because of personal misconduct. Thrown out on trumped-up charges by the radical feminists and the communists inside the military. They fired one of the heads of the nuclear command because he went on a vodka-drinking binge one night in Moscow? Is that real in your country? See, Stalin executed the generals that he didn't like. When he thought there was a general's plot, he had them shot. In this country, they're shot by the press and by the radical communists who they planted inside the military to trump up charges. So they trumped him up. At the time, he was commander of the 20th Air Force, responsible for all 450 of the Air Force's Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles located in five U.S. states. The man was a great man, General Carey. They came up with trumped up charges and got rid of him. And who did they replace him with in the Air Force? Take a look. Why, a woman who's never fired a Daisy BB gun. A woman who's never fired a Daisy BB gun. Do you have any idea what's been done under your nose while this clever little man from Honolulu gets away with virtual purge after purge after purge? Well, maybe one day you'll read about it if there's still a country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Of the making of many radio shows, there is no end, says Ecclesiastes Michael. And the fact is, I don't want to say the word Obama or Ebola today. I can't say those words. Of course, they're merged in my mind since he brought Ebola to America with his open borders policy. But I'd rather talk about the topic I raised, which was, is a college degree worth it anymore? And I think it's a very important topic. I'm overeducated in some regards, but I wouldn't say there's such a thing as overeducation. How can you ever say you're overeducated? What do you mean, you know everything? When I consider the idiocy that I listen to in the media, the absolute stupidity coming out of Congress, I would say, no, I'm not overeducated. I say I'm being run by a nation of undereducated dolts. They know nothing about anything. I mean, maybe there's a word like conniving, or there's another word that I'm looking for that's escaping me right now. Shrewd. There's a lot of shrewd people who are stupid. How can you be shrewd and stupid at the same time? I'll let you figure that out. Obama's an example of a shrewd man who's a stupid man. He is a man who pushes agenda, bypassing Congress to grant millions of blank work permits and green cards to push the agenda of the radical leftist viewpoint to advance his party's position for 100 years, not thinking for one iota what it will do to America, nor caring. That's called stupid. But stupider are the Republicans who do nothing to stop him. But I don't want to talk about that, so I'd rather talk about the college thing. Because I said bachelor's degree, master's degree, then a PhD. Now, do I need it in radio? I don't need it. You know, in the military, if you look at a higher-up officer, you see medals on their chest, right? They all mean something to other military men. Most of us don't know what they mean. I often wondered why in our society can't we wear medals on our chest showing our achievements on a business suit or a polo shirt? I mean, we have no identity in this country. So you see the average schmuck walking around a mall with a pair of shorts and a T-shirt. He could be a highly educated hero. You wouldn't know it. There's no badge of honor on him. And that's what's the problem with people in the non-military world. We have no way of knowing what the next man's achievements are, do we? We really don't. And I always thought that higher degrees were the equivalent of badges of honor in the military in that regard. I thought they would count for something. Do they count for anything in this society where you glorify a slut in Hollywood who's constantly showing off her body in the most disgusting manner? I'm nothing against the body. I think the human body is gorgeous. And I think sex is great. But I'm sick and tired of hearing about others telling me about their sex. I could care less about their sex. I care as much about some slut in Hollywood and what she does with her body as I care about how someone eats a pizza pie. Why am I asking, is a college education still worth it? Now, let me explain why I'm asking this question. As I've told you, I'm going back through the written journals of Michael Savage, the secret written journals of Michael Savage, dated to 1963, and I'm up to 1969, volume number 8 of my written journals, which are being transcribed. And I'm looking back at all my years of struggles, all the years of seeking a higher education, bachelor's degree, Queens College. Wasn't enough for me. I was embarrassed that I only had a bachelor's degree. Most of my cohorts went on to grad school, meaning they either became a doctor or a lawyer. Those who couldn't do anything else became an accordionist and ventriloquists. The thing is, it was in my milieu, in my world, nobody just settled for a bachelor's degree unless they didn't have the brains to go on. And then they went into the record business and became billionaires by the time they were 20. Now, I've known many people in my life who never went to college who've done very well. In fact, some of the wealthiest guys I know never got a college degree. Now, is that the be-all and end-all of a college degree? I got to tell you, I was raised in a liberal age, and I was taught that a liberal arts education was not about making a living. I was taught that it's about broadening your mind, and it's true. Actually, it is true. Unfortunately, we also have to make a living. They should have taught us that, but we weren't going to trade schools. The whole concept of a liberal education, meaning a Bachelor of Arts degree, was to indulge yourself in a variety of subjects and become knowledgeable about the world that preceded you and the world in which you were living. And then hopefully you'd be a more well-rounded person. That was the idea of school in my day. But I always felt embarrassed that I didn't have a higher degree. So that started a long quest for higher degrees. And I know kids who either dropped out of college or went to college and went into something in business and made a lot of money very early. Like the dumbest kid I knew worked in a gas station. He never went to college, but he moved to Florida before the real estate boom, and he made a fortune in real estate. And I envied him. I somewhat envied him because I was struggling with master's degrees and a Ph.D. They wouldn't hire me. And here was this, you know, gas pump guy who made a fortune in real estate in Florida just by being in the right place and having the guts to invest. Then I had another friend. He became a foot doctor. He was a foot doctor, and we all laughed at him for being a foot doctor. But the foot doctor, again, moved to Florida in the late 60s and opened up Medicare mills, I heard, and made a fortune with foot doctor Medicare mills. I kind of envied him. I mean, I was this great scholar, and here was this guy with Medicare mills rolling in dough. Another one of my friends dropped out of college and became a gangster. He made a lot of money. I somewhat envied him. What I'm saying is, why did I put in all those years to go to school? Now, I once said to my son, why did I waste all those years in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas? Why did I do all those things, collecting plants for no money? What was I doing? Why was I borrowing money to do my research because there was no government research? I said I wasted those years. I should have just bought slums in Harlem in the 70s with the Russians I knew who were moving into New York, who were buying the slums and made a fortune. And he said, no, Dad. He said, you don't understand something. He said, when you went into radio in 1994, in every word that you spoke, in every sentence that you spoke, you brought your education to the radio show. He said, don't you understand that your education is expressed in your viewpoints? I said, okay, fine. So that brings me around to today's show. There's a lot of news I will talk about, maybe, maybe not. But I'd like to open up the show to listeners of the Savage Nation and call in and tell me if, one, you still think a college degree is worth it, unless you're going to a professional school such as a medical school, which I wouldn't recommend in this day and age of Obamacare. It's going to be like Russia treated their doctor soon. Would you recommend that a young man in particular go and waste his time and go to college? Is it a waste of time? As you well know, most of the universities have a bias towards women. Men are pushed aside, and basically most scholarships and grants are preferably given to women, minorities, illegal aliens, and others. So, well, what is education? But to me, it was very important. And as I say, and I want to go back to this for a minute. I didn't even think I would do this today. I was going to do, you want to see the topics I pulled for today? Let me just show you. CNN spreads lies about radio giant on Ebola by Selwyn Duke. It's a great article. The best American cities for liberals and conservatives, quantified. The new civil rights division head wants to decriminalize possession of all drugs. NAACP speaker's remarks, let's create confusion during the November 24th, 2014 election by deliberately misleading voters and creating chaos. Order for millions of blank work permits, green cards for 34 million raises concerns. Okay, you get the picture? Obama to bypass Congress on easing of Iran sanctions on nuclear weapons. They're important stories, but I don't really want to talk about them. I was also going to talk about my experience in a Barnes & Noble last night that got me so agitated. I called my agent and she said, you better tell that publisher I'm through with this. I'm not doing it anymore. I go into my local Barnes & Noble and I say, can I see a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War? And this nasty clerk gives me like, oh, it's over there. I go there, it's buried underneath books that are doing far fewer in sales than mine. I got so infuriated. I made calls, and you know what? To no avail. And I said, I give up. That's the end of it. Homeland Security announces travel restrictions for people from West Africa, Ebola-affected countries. It's a fake story. It's another piece of window dressing from President Ebola. He's saying that all U.S.-bound travelers from three Ebola-stricken nations will be required to fly into one of five airports that are conducting additional screening. So what? You're supposed to sigh with relief? Again, he's a liar. Why is he a liar? Because 94% of travelers from these three countries already arrive at only one of the five designated airports. 94% of them already go into JFK, Newark, Dulles, Atlanta, Chicago. So it's a cover-up by the CDC, and you understand why it's so incredibly difficult to cover the stories when you live in a Sovietized American media? How did I find that out? Why is it not on Fox News? Why did I have to dig that up? I saw an article from CNN that, of course, you know, CNN, you dismiss it automatically, but I had to read it to you. It says Obama, one very successful president, ? And they try to argue that in the long reach of history, he'll be looked back upon as a great, great president. And who was it written by? The Kvetch Krugman. Krugman, the so-called prize-winning economist Krugman, a lifetime socialist, says that in a long, long history, he'll be a great, great president. And he wrote an article for the reliable science publication called Rolling Stone. And Rolling Stone, the reliable science publication, argues through Krugman that this administration has done a pretty good job overall. And here's what so-called Krugman writes. Despite bitter opposition, despite having come close to self-inflicted disaster, Obama has emerged as one of the most consequential and, yes, successful presidents in American history. That's his report card. Now, if you consider spying on all Americans, targeting Americans through the Internal Revenue Service as marks of a great president from the point of view of a totalitarian president, I would say he might be right. But what has Obama done that makes him such a great president? Well, they look at Obamacare and they say in the long run that's going to be great. You look at Ebola, you could say, well, if you wanted to infect a nation, you couldn't have done a better job than leave the borders open. So if your legacy is that of weakening America and turning it into another third world cesspool, which is apparently what the left wants this country to become, you would say that he's taken some giant steps during his presidency. I mean, the Affordable Care Act is just wonderful to make people pay for your illness. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be great if you could make everyone in America who keeps themselves healthy to pay for those who are either unfortunately unhealthy or become unhealthy or in an accident or just, let's say, leading horrible lifestyles and make themselves unhealthy? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so there are other great things that Obama's done, according to them. Which I don't know what the list is. I guess the economics, they say, is all due to him. And so they end this article by saying, so Krugman has put forth an enormously important argument, but it's just too early to tell his early report card of Obama is correct. We need much more time to see what happens with the next administration, as well as what comes after, before we can really start to make clear judgments as to whether Obama's accomplishments were historic. Well, whether he ends up being remembered as an average president, my goodness. How about a corrupt oligarch? Would that work for you? How about someone who overrode Congress? Would that work for you?
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. These years, they've been telling you that there's 11 million illegal aliens for at least 10 years. How many times have I said at least 30 million? Well, it turns out that Obama has ordered 34 million green cards and work permits. He's getting ready for an executive order for amnesty after the November election. This is an impeachable offense. He must be stopped in advance by the government itself. Background checks on 34 million illegal aliens? Are you kidding me? It's another example of the dictatorship in which we are living. Also in the news, the Department of Homeland Security has done some cover-up. They claim that they've imposed new restrictions on travelers from Ebola-stricken countries, that these individuals will be required to fly into one of five airports, which will be conducting additional screening. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, it's a lie, because as of now, 94% of people from those countries already come into these five airports. It's another example of the charade by the dictator-in-chief. Here's some of the sound bites for today. Somebody named Howard Feinman, I don't know who he is, I think he owned the bagel shop in Brooklyn, and they gave him a job on MSNBC. The bagel man, Howard Feinman, says there's a racial subtext with the conservatives' concern of illegal immigrants, Arabs, and Ebola.
The brown people coming from the south, the Arab people coming from the east, the black people coming from Africa. Nobody's saying that in so many words. Nobody's saying it at all, but it's in the background of this whole discussion, and anybody who would deny that doesn't know how this country operates.
Howard, how do you get this stupid? Is it from the seltzer you grew up on? Is it the lox? Is it the pickles? Did you get a pickle stuck in your cerebrum, Howard? Here's Eric Hold'em Up, saying his biggest failure has been not passing gun control.
I think the inability to pass reasonable gun safety laws after the Newtown massacre is, for me, something that I take personally as a failure.
Here's Obama saying in 2014, all the Democrats are all folks who vote with me and have supported my agenda.
The bottom line is, though, these are all folks who vote with me. They have supported my agenda in Congress. They are on the right side of minimum wage. They are on the right side of fair pay. They are on the right side of rebuilding our infrastructure.
Okay, what does that mean? We have no idea. Here's Obama saying, get Cousin Pookie off the couch and tell him to vote.
Don't just get the folks who you know are going to vote. You got to find Cousin Pookie. He's sitting on the couch right now watching football. Hadn't voted in the last five elections. You've got to grab him and tell him to go vote.
Doesn't matter if Cousin Pookie is eligible. Here's Governor Cuomo saying something on Ebola that no one understands.
It's not my field. I'm a lawyer, and I like to sort of stay in what I know or stay far away from something that I have no idea about.
Here's Anthony Fauci of the NIH saying the CDC using a protocol for Ebola treatment was a risk for nurses.
The protocols that were written were written from original protocols that originated with WHO of treating Ebola in a different setting.
What's that about?
So the protocol that was quite successful, it worked very well in Ebola in Africa. The way that was written was a risk for the nurses. And they went by the protocol, they got infected.
Here's the spokesmouth for Obama, saying there were shortcomings in the Ebola response.
Well, there were some shortcomings in the response.
Yeah, like all of them.
And it's clear that there wasn't enough instruction that was clearly communicated to the healthcare workers that were treating this first Ebola patient on American soil. What the president has made clear to his team is that he's going to hold them to a very high standard for a response.
General Wesley Clark says ISIS is part of a 300-year struggle over Islam's power in the world.
This region's undergoing an enormous stress as part of a 300-year-long effort of Islam to accommodate to Western technology and the modernization of the West.
Oh, yeah, right.
When Islam got started, the West was in the Dark Ages, and Islam was the center of civilization. They can't understand why, if they're God's people, that the West is more powerful.
We don't know that?
And all of this is one way or another related to that.
Well, that's some of the sound of the day. Thanks for listening to the Savage Nation, and God bless America.
Savage.